one verse I'd like to share with all of you folks. It's in Daniel chapter 9. Thanks to the band, the singers. I feel the Spirit of God here. I do. It's beautiful. And the message coming from Pastor Shabelli. The parking lot, it's raining out, but then there's the decrease of possibility of rain at 11 o'clock is lower and lower, so it'd be great. Come if you can and pull into our parking lot designed for outdoor meetings. Yes, it's beautiful. Okay, Daniel 9:23. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to thee to show thee, for you art greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved. This is Gabriel speaking to Daniel. And he said to him, you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. When you are greatly loved, it helps you in your understanding. You understand the vision. Daniel, you are greatly beloved, Gabriel said. Gabriel is one of the primary angels in heaven that stands, that is in the presence of God. And he comes to Daniel with a message, and he says, you are greatly beloved. I'd like you to, yesterday we visited some body members in their home, not in their home, but in their yard, and just listening to them. And I was so encouraged by things they said, Cheryl Bogardis, Robin McKeon, Alan Cole, and we just enjoyed what God is doing in this time. And I would like to say to all of us in the Spirit that it's important for you to know you are greatly beloved. It's important for you to know God loves you. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to realize that somebody loves me. And when God loves you, God loves you. This is the most important person. And it affects you. You begin to understand, like it happened with Daniel. The angel said, you are greatly beloved, and gave him understanding and consideration. And that happens in your heart. You will understand more through love. Love will help you. Love will open up the channels of your heart and mind. And in closing, I believe this happened to the disciple John, who was young, maybe 19 years old, very sensitive, and with his brother. There was James and the three. There was Peter, James, John, and Jesus. But John, it seems to be the quiet, intuitive man that understood that Jesus loved him. He understood it. It changes our lives when we understand that God loves me. Everybody needs to be loved. Love is the key to life. It's the greatest commandment. It changes life. It helps us in life adjust. And then I think at 11 o'clock we'll preach on that. And I'm just so encouraged by the love that I saw yesterday on the lawns of people's homes that we visited. I've seen it in Zoom meetings. I've heard the Spirit speaking. I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm so encouraged by it. love never fails. And it's a key to our lives. God bless you. We're going to hear a great message from Pastor Shibeli, and then we'll be out in the parking lot at 11, and then online again tonight at 6:30 for a message, I believe, I'm not sure, might be again on love. Okay. God bless you.
I remember the early days in Africa where there was no such thing as a microphone, and you just had to have a booming voice and loud. My mother always told me when I was like 3, 4, 5, and 6 years old, I was the loudest person on the block. And the whole neighborhood, she could hear me like houses down. She goes, why are you so loud? I said, I think I got bad ears. I think sometimes when our ears are not good, we are loud. Thank you for that message on love. And it's interesting. I'm looking at Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you that the Father loves us, the Son loves us, the Spirit loves us. Thank you that we are loved in the church. Thank you for, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. It's so amazingly easy to learn from one who loves you. To learn from one who loves you. Thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning something that has been on my mind for the night. And it was about the mind of God. Having the mind of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is for us as believers to have God's thoughts. Sometimes I can become familiar with that and realize, as I looked at Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11, I know the thoughts I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. In other words, the love of God in his thoughts creates peace, not of evil, to give you hope in the outcome, in the end, to give us an expected end. And God's thinking, God's thoughts. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, listen to man's thoughts. And I wonder, when I read this morning that a person thinks 2,100 thoughts an hour, and they say some people can think 30,000 to 40,000 thoughts a day while they're awake. I thought, no wonder some people can get very tired. You know, if I think God's thoughts, I'll be quickened. If I think fleshly man's thoughts, it's ready. I want to just be going to sleep every 5 minutes, you know, because I'm just tired of those thoughts. And really, the thought life, it's really amazing. And 2,100 thoughts an hour. I mean, that seems incredible to me, but I was talking to some people before about that. They said, oh, yeah, just think about everything you think about in the course of a short time. And this is what it says in Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man, how great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you imagine that? Every single thought of every single person was evil continually, not just occasionally, continually. And so it's important that we realize, and we all do, in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 10, he's talking about the rain coming down. We want the rain to stop, though. The rain coming down. And he's talking about thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways will be higher than your ways. How important that is. Like sometimes we are always dealing with people in problems and situations, maybe with counseling centers, drug addiction, marriage problems, alcoholism, crime, you name it, pornography, whatever it might be. We're always dealing with the ways of man. And there's never a whole lot of victory in that. But when you deal with the thinking of man, in other words, before a person is an addict, like a drug addict, they are a mental addict. Are you listening to me? They are a mental addict. And we're dealing with the external circumference things when we really never deal with the thoughts and the patterns of thinking. The word that we don't often like to hear in our ear because of the way it sounds, but it doesn't really mean what we think it means, repentance. It means changing your what? Changing your thinking. Having a new way of thinking, Ephesians 4:23, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if our thinking is changed, then I absolutely believe our ways can be changed. It all starts with people developing a pattern of thinking. Thinking. I remember when I got saved, I never thought, I can honestly say this, and please, if that's not your case, please don't get strange about it. I honestly, from 1976, never thought about drugs again. And I was using narcotics for 15 years. The thought never entered my mind again. When I got saved, I came out of my grandfather and my father's barroom and hotel and never went back to taking a drink again. The thought, and it's not the ways, how did that take place? It was my thinking had changed. Are you with me? My thinking had changed. Changing the mind, changing the thinking. And how important this is in anything, whether it's a relationship problem, whether it's raising children, whether it's a pattern in my own life, maybe it's an old sin nature stronghold, maybe it's a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. All God is saying is take in my thoughts. Take in my thoughts. And in Philippians chapter 2, and this is an amazing portion of Scripture, it's an amazing epistle because Paul is trying to teach them how to what? How to think correctly. And we read that also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Are you out there today? I know you are, with a sound mind. You're loved by God. And isn't it amazing how much God loves us? He gives us his mind. He lets us know how he thinks, and it can be available to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. Who has known the Lord and who can be his counselor? Ha! We have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to be God's counselor, but I can have God's mind and I can receive counsel from God. I can think with God. I can think with God. And maybe we find ourselves facing situations that are Red Sea situations, Jordan River situations, troublesome things that are going on, and thinking correctly. You know what? I'll tell you, there's a far greater virus in people's minds than what's out there physically. It's a mental virus of old sin nature thinking, wrong thinking. I'm not trying to, you know, in any way, look at this virus as a very serious thing, and it is, and whatnot. And we understand that people have lost their lives and whatnot, and that's a sad thing and a grieving thing. But there's out there is how people think, how the thinking of people. And by the way, that can even be in Christianity. If you or I were in a church where they do not elevate God's thoughts and elevate doctrine and God's mind and patterns of thinking, then what ends up taking place is I'm born again and I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm not thinking too well with God while I'm walking on the earth. And sometimes you can look at believers and their thinking processes are not much different than an unbeliever. They could even have some of the same opinions and the same attitudes as an unbeliever, a carnal thinker. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul says to the Corinthians, you are carnal. You walk as men. You are carnal. So I want to have God's thoughts. And I love this simple verse in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. That was in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. I can make a decision to let God's thoughts come in. Or I can make a decision to let my thoughts go someplace else. Or let other thoughts. There's what's known as projections from Satan and reflections of the old sin nature. And I often say this, that when a projection meets a reflection, it produces something. It conceives something. And what it conceives is something contrary to God's thoughts. Something absolutely contrary to God's thoughts. And so the Philippians were told time and time again. In Philippians 1:7, Paul talks about thinking. This is what I think about you. And I read this, and I was marking this down early this morning. In Philippians, there's 40 references to either the Bible or knowledge or the word or truth. 40 references that I counted going through the whole epistle of Philippians about thinking, about the mind. It's amazing. And I love this part too. There's 18 responses of joy or rejoicing. And I would say this, when I am thinking with God, here comes joy. Did you say I got that joy, 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 joy down in my soul? Is that a song? I think that's a song, yeah. And I love this, Jeremiah 15:16. I know, what does it say in Jeremiah 15:16? He talks about that I have got God's mind, and it brought in a joy and rejoicing to my heart, for I am called by your name. I'm called by your name. I've got your thoughts. I'm called by your name. I did find thy word and I ate it, and it was a joy and rejoicing to my soul, for I am called by your name. How to think with God. And here's the Philippians, and they can be people that are submitted and subject to all kinds of thinking and all that's going on there, but God is saying to them, and the Apostle Paul is ministering to them, they've got to have the same mind. How many times did it say, think this way, be like-minded in lowliness of mind, having the same mind, over and over again in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, and then in 3, 16 through 18 and 19, and 4, 2, and on it goes, 4, 7, he's talking about thinking. And he's saying, I don't want you to think about the control that the Roman government has over your colony. And so often that's where people's minds go, into governmental issues and things that are going on. And by the way, some people, and it can happen to any of us, and I think we should be aware, but some people are news freaks. They can spend 8 hours a day watching the news. The average American, I am told this, I've read this, that the average American can watch television from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock every night. So 5 hours of being imparted, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I'm not saying there aren't some good things there. Okay, I like watching those things about Africa with the animals. Okay, now maybe I don't know. I like watching the crocodiles and the lions and the tiger and all that stuff there. But can you imagine every night? I mean, I don't even know what happens on Saturday and Sunday. But between movies and the news and all kinds of information going out, it's an overload. No wonder people pass out in their chairs at night, because there's so much that's going towards them. And they're sitting there like this. There's no activity. It's all I'm being acted on, but there's no activity taking place. And they're just getting all kinds of ideas. And then those ideas develop habits. Pastor Stephen said this years ago, if I can find out where I put that. I remember the progression. He said it in 1978-79. Was one of the first messages that I heard. A thought comes in and you receive it, number two. You think on it, number three. You make a decision, number four. An action takes place, number five. It's logged into your subconscious mind, number six. Then you have a series of thoughts in the same area. Then you make a series of decisions. You develop a pattern and a habit, and that becomes your identity. You can go, and I can go from a thought to an identity just like that. Something happens. One day somebody says, you're not really a boy, you're a girl. And that thought can come in and develop into an identity. Somebody can say, you know, oh, you're this or you're that. They can maybe bring you down with something that is not encouraging at all. And you take the thought in, and then you let it go through this process, this 10 steps, and you come up with an identity. He's always anxious. He's always like that. This is who he is. And they begin to categorize your identity, and it all started with a wrong thought. That's why when we think God's thoughts, we can say to somebody, you are loved by God. God loves you. I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you're going. what you will do. God loves you. And let that thought come in. And watch how a person can be totally transformed and delivered. And Paul is saying how important it is to think correctly. I wrote down some types of thinking. It's incredible. The types of thinking. All sin nature thinking. World's thinking. How the world thinks. Boy, that is something. And by the way, I don't know whether you know the definition of the word world, cosmos. This is what it means, the world. We talk about it a lot. We use the word. And the cosmos means, in the Greek language, as it's used throughout the New Testament, that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. How about that one? Oh, the world's not so bad. Really? Well, cosmos means, cosmo crater is the devil, world ruler. That which is in opposition to an alien from God's life. And so the world with all of its thinking, can you imagine? 2,000 thoughts every hour? The average person can take in 2,000 thoughts an hour? In the course of a day, if you're up 16 hours a day, it's 30,000 thoughts. What kind of thoughts are they? That's why God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher. My thoughts are above your thoughts. And so how important it is for me to guard my mind, to be receiving from God's word, not to read the Bible. And if you do, praise the Lord, if you read it 5 minutes a week, if that's a start. But I need to have God's thoughts coming into my mind because it's so easy for my mind to gravitate towards natural thinking, worldly thinking, temporal thinking, cultural thinking, past thinking, future thinking, tribal thinking. It's amazing. All the things that are going on, all the educational systems that we have out there, and what they're doing is they are producing and giving thoughts that produce thinking. And people come out of them with certain patterns. I found that many people that they always thought that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And they go to university and they come out drinking wine. And using, and oh, well, what's wrong with marijuana? I mean, you know, they're going to legalize it in some places. What happened to your thinking? And by the way, I think marijuana, THC, is more dangerous than even some of the hard drugs. Because THC, the potency of marijuana, has an ability stronger than other drugs to affect the thinking patterns. The process of thinking, and it just brings those things down, and people can't think anymore. They become like vegetables in their mind. And so thinking, and yet, so they watch TV, and they see this is what the trend is now, and so they pick that up. Oh, it's really amazing. The way they propagate things. Why is it that they always have to use these handsome, beautiful people to sell things? They got a woman on a car. What does she know about an engine? Nothing. Maybe she does. Maybe some do. I don't know. Okay. But they're going to sell that car with a bathing suit on a woman. What are they doing? I mean, they are just going down to this subconscious level where they can sell things based upon these base things and get you to buy a car that blows up in a year and a half. Not like my Jeep, which is still going 20 years later. Anyway. And so thinking, patterns of thinking, important. How about when the wrong types of thinking come into the church? Or they can come in. I remember what took place one time in a Christian school I was a part of. And somebody brought in some people that had thinking contrary to the Bible to be like a guest speaker. You know what I did? When they were speaking to the assembly, I went up and shut all the lights off and pulled the electricity cord. Boom! I put the electricity off so there could be no more of the nonsense of propagating something into the students' ears that was not thinking with God. You say, that's a little bit radical. Yeah, that's right. That was over. The assembly was over. It was pitch dark, and there was no more ability to use a microphone. Thinking. I was thinking with God, actually. He said, pull all the plug on the electricity. That's the end of that. So thinking, people's opinions. Well, my opinion is, well, whatever your opinion is, what does God think? How does God think? What does God say? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about divorce? What does God say about homosexuality? What is God's mind about these things? What is God's mind about crime? What is God's mind about all these things that are taking place in the world? And sometimes we've gotten so far from God's thinking, when somebody comes in with a thought from God, we think they're nuts. Us. Oh, come on. You're a little bit, you know what? You're a little bit outdated. You're, you know, what, I don't know. They call people, is it millennials or the newer? I don't know what we are. What are we? People in our 70s. Just old, right? I don't know. What way? You got all these classifications, you know? I'm Bible dated. And they come in with all these new ideas and new thoughts. And they say, aren't you up with the current trends and the current times? No, I want to think with God. I want God's mind. Paul said, you Philippians, you need God's mind. Your pastor is sick and dying, Epaphroditus. Your apostle is in prison. Two women are trying to divide the church. That's a good one, isn't it? Murmuring, complaining, evaluating, criticizing, negativity. Two women are trying to divide the Philippian church. They're under the assault from the Roman government. The Jews of the concision are coming after them. Paul said, I wish they were cut off. I like that statement that he made. Religion, the Greek wisdom and philosophies, all this stuff is just kind of pouring into Philippi and pouring into people's minds and their lives. And Paul says, we need to have this mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This is the mind. This is how you're going to think. Have the same thinking. And then he says, even in Philippians 4:8, I want you to think on these things. What sort of things are just and pure and lovely and all these things and honest and of good report, if there any virtue or praise, think on these things. You need to know how to think. You need to know how to think. You got to, and when you think with God, there's going to be incredible joy. Joy. 18 times he uses the word joy. Thinking with God produces joy in my heart, in my life. I've got the joy of the Lord. Thinking with God. If Abraham wasn't thinking with God, he would have never gone to the Ur of the Chaldeans. If Joseph wasn't thinking with God, he would have never forgiven his brothers for what they did to him. Are you with me? If Moses was not thinking with God, he wouldn't have obeyed God's call and gone in there. I think somebody wanted me to preach a message this morning called Let My People Go. But that's actually a good message. Let my people go. Forget that one. But he was thinking with God. God ministered to him. Joshua had to have the book in Joshua 1, 7, and 8. So as he's going into the promised land, he can think with God. He can think with God. And they can go in and they can have an amazing victory. And Gideon had to think with God when he only had a few hundred men going against 135,000 of them. He had to think with God. He's receiving God's thoughts. David's going to kill Goliath because he's got God's thoughts. David can make it 22 years running away from Saul. He can live in caves, in the mountains, in the wilderness. Why? He's got God's thoughts. He's got God's thoughts. Solomon is doing awesome when he's got God's thoughts. When he's got his own thoughts, 3,000 wives and concubines. He's not thinking very well. He's thinking in a horrible way. Thinking with God. Isaiah is going to think with God and receive a call in Isaiah 6. He's thinking with God. Jeremiah chapter 1, everybody says you're just a child. He's not going to think with people. He's going to think with God. And he's going to think with God. He's going to be used by God as a prophet to the nation. How important that is. And the same with Ezekiel, the same with Daniel. Can you imagine? We're not eating your food. No, we're not eating your food. You're going to try to change our identity, change our thinking, our identity. You're trying to change us, him and the three Hebrew boys. And they say, we're not going to touch it. Why? Because in the middle of Babylon, just the three or four of them, there's men thinking with God. And they're there and they're thinking with God and they're going to make a difference. Oh, yeah, it's overwhelming, isn't it? The whole of Babylon's thinking one way and Daniel and the three Hebrew boys are thinking another way. Well, isn't the majority always right? No. Majority is not always right. You must be joking. I think the remnant is right. The right remnant. The remnant is right. And on it goes. And Jonah's not thinking with God, and so he goes the other way. And even when God uses him, he's still not thinking with God. Doest thou well to be angry? He's not thinking with God. Peter, James, and John, Galilean fishermen, they're thinking with God. And as they're thinking with God, they're going to follow God. Yes, they're weak. Yes, they make mistakes. Yes, they're insecure. Yes, they have no education. But God called them. And God's mind is with them, and they've got the thoughts of God. The highest form of education that anybody could ever be under is an education in the Bible, in the Word of God, in God's Word. Vital. Keep up with those classes, all of you that are not in classes, but taking them online or however you take them. Keep up with Bible school. Come to Bible school this summer. Come to Bible school in the fall. Just because of what's going on, these things are eternal. They are landmarks, and they are going to continue. We think with God, having pastors that think with God, having churches that think with God, having a Christian school that thinks with God, having outreaches. We go on outreach because we think with God. God says people are lost. They're lost. They're on the way to a destiny separated from God. This is horrifying for me to think about. Hell awaits them. I said to a man recently, I said, in our church, we believe in positional truth. So I am positionally in front of you, but I am positionally, I'm experientially in front of you, but I'm positionally in heaven. But I'd like to say to you, and God loves you and he wants to see a change take place. You're experientially in front of me, but you're positionally in hell. He said, huh? I said, don't worry about death. Worry about the second death. Death happens to all of us. It's the second death. And if I think with God, I want to talk to people about Christ. I want to tell them there's a loving Savior who cares for you. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. He has a mercy that rejoices over judgment. Thinking with God. Thinking with God. I don't want to be a part of a church that didn't have a way of reaching out to people. How could that be? How could that be that they just turn inward and they stay on the inside? And by the way, that's why there's so many problems. Churches have splits over the color of the curtains. People argue. Deacons arguing. No, 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 no. I don't like those colors. I like these colors. I don't like these colors. And before you know it, it's a church split over the curtains. So many church splits taking place. Why? They're not thinking with God. One mind. God wants us to have one mind, and it's not my own mind. It's one mind. It's lowliness of thinking. I'm going to receive thoughts from God. That's what meekness and humility is. Meekness, praoutes in the Greek, means I am receptive to God's thinking and God's mind. Humility means I'm receptive to God's grace and his character. That's why Jesus was meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul. By the way, when I think with God, I got rest. When I think with me, it's unbelievable. Striving, driven, all over the place. Thinking with God brings peace. We have oftentimes many situations that are developing in churches. We have 768 churches around the world, and I work in missions and along with some other amazing, faithful people. And there's always something going on. But if I am to let those things control my thinking, I'm in trouble. But if I let God control my thinking, then I've got what God thinks to give to people that need to have God's thinking. This is so key. Have the same mind, one mind, lowliness of mind, thinking with God. He says, don't mind earthly things in 3:15 through 19. Don't mind earthly things. Have this kind of thinking. If you be any way otherwise minded, that's not what God would have. He wants you to think with him. You can have his mind. What a privilege. A loving God gives us his mind. He gives us his mind. What a privilege. What an amazing responsibility we also have too. We can think with God. We can think with God. And when God's thinking comes in, our ways change. Stop worrying about people's ways and what they're doing. Let's really help them to think with a loving God who cares for them. He wants to give us his thoughts. He wants to give us his thoughts. That's really awesome grace, isn't it? God giving us his thoughts so we can produce his ways. Father, thank you today. Help us in these days to think with you. Your thoughts are precious and they are great in Psalm 139, 17 and 18. They are precious and they're so great. So great. Thank you, God. Oh, all these thoughts a day. My goodness, 30,000 thoughts a day. 20,000 thoughts a day. Help us, God, to think with you, to be quickened by you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We can have your mind. We can think with God. And here's a great thought to think with God. God loves me, as we heard before. God loves me. God gave his son, and God saves me. God loves, God gives, God saves. God loves, God gives, God saves. If you are here and or you're listening to this, simply say, Jesus, come into my life and change my life. Save me. Save me. I haven't been thinking with God. I've been thinking I can save myself. I've been thinking that church saves me. I've been thinking that baptism saves me. Well, thinking with God is salvation is by grace. Because of God's mercy and God's love, we thank you. We thank you, God, for giving us your thinking. Thinking and thanking because of his thinking. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.